Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a country founded on freedom, and in a society that seeks to emphasize human rights, equality, liberation, the subject of being subject and the object of being subject are hardly subjects concerning which too many people like to subject themselves. I mean, who wants to be a subject? I might suggest that you that are husbands remind your wives sometimes that the Hebrew word Baal, which means husband, also means Lord and Master. And see how that goes down in turn. It's true, isn't it? Lordship implies rule, dominion, authority over someone else. And oh, how we chafe against that. Oh, how that rubs us the wrong way in our egos and self-esteem and desires for independence. And yet, isn't it odd that God's people, the very house of Israel, throughout history have rejoiced to be able to pray, O Adonai, to address God as Lord. To be sure, there is quite a bit of power and dominion and authority in calling God Lord. After all, he did make the heavens and the earth by the power of his word and still rules and has authority over all things. He is, in fact, the Holy One of Israel, whose coming and presence assumes holiness in us, too. It is, after all, no simple show of piety or respect that Moses took off his shoes. God told him to. Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground upon which you are standing is holy ground. It's holy because I am there. I am holy. And Moses is afraid. And rightly so. I think we would be. I think we should be, too. Because to know God as Adonai, as Lord, presupposes his power and might and dominion and authority and holiness. In fact, the very title, the word of our antiphon today, as Adonai, reflects the kind of fear and awe before the divine name which caused us to be circumvented with this name Adonai instead. But the glorious truth of our text is that the powerful and almighty God, who may rightly come as a refining fire, punishing and purifying, comes as a fire indeed, but as a fire which consumes neither the bush nor Moses. That's the surprising thing, that Moses here, as he would later at Mount Sinai, be able to stand in the presence of God and speak to God face to face and not be consumed. Isn't it special that the Lord God Almighty came not to destroy, but to save and to give life? Isn't it wonderful sometimes that we do have a Lord? In many physical ways in our daily lives, there are many times when we appreciate having someone who has a bit more power and authority and influence than we do. How nice it is to have a special friend in high places. And how much more special it is when we know that person personally, when we too may be on a first-name basis. And you see, that's the way the Lord God of heaven and earth comes to his people. He comes as the Lord indeed, but not as a Lord who has come to be saved, but to serve and to save his people. The house of Israel, remember, needed a Lord. Any pride or independence or self-esteem or freedom had been totally lost. This is God's people, slaves in Egypt, by the only Lord they knew were the Egyptian taskmasters. But it's just at that point that the real Lord comes to us. When all seems totally helpless and hopeless, when the election of Abraham seems lost, when the promise of land and conquest over other tribes seems to be utter foolishness, when the identity of God's chosen people was obscured in crisis, when they wondered who they really were, God's people or slaves in Egypt, when Moses himself asked, "Who am I that I should go to all and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" It's just at this point that God reveals his plan, that God reveals his power, and that God reveals his holy name. I am what I am. No identity crisis there. I am. That's it, Moses. Tell the people that I am has sent you to them. I am Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord of heaven and earth. And yet, I have come to you in a very special, personal way. You know me. You know my name. You know me as one who comes with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm to redeem and to ransom captive Israel, to lead you out of slavery, and to establish my covenant with you at Sinai, to show you what it means to know the name Yahweh. For I am Yahweh, the God who brought you forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And because you know me, you need not have or think about or worry about or want any other God but me. The Holy One of Israel has come to redeem and to sanctify his people, to make them his special possession, his priestly kingdom, and a holy nation forever. Then you see that same Lord is our Lord too. The Lord who chose us, not because of our righteousness, not because we are great or mighty or many in number, but because Yahweh has loved us, because he has chosen us, because he has kept his promise with our father, Abraham, and come to us as the Lord. Not to be saved, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And he has come and said, "I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life." And even on the night before he would give his life so that we might live, he said to the very men who had come to arrest him, men who knew their Old Testament very well, "I am he." And they fell down before the Holy One of Israel. O Lord, you have come, open arms, to redeem your people. We wait for you to come again, open arms, to welcome us home. But in the meantime, you have given us your name, to know it personally, to call upon it, to pray to it, to be blessed by it, to know it intimately, personally, as you yourself have taught us to say, Abba, Father, to hear it, to say it, yes, to confess the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, our Savior, every knee should bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, which we confess only by the power of the Spirit. In the name of our Father, Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus.